Oh, boy. I woke up this morning, and I just had this irresistible urge to wash my potato. And I looked out, and I said, what the hell is going on out there? I'll tell you what, there is a lot of energy just absolutely flying around, and new things happening, and eyes opening up, and more and more and more people are jumping on the proverbial bandwagon and trying to figure out what is going on in this place that we find ourselves. Well, we're bringing guests on like we have tonight who add another piece to the puzzle here, and we are really starting to get a good picture. Me personally, Ramon, I am really starting to, I've known this for a long time, but it's coming closer and closer to my heart and becoming more and more apparent that I am a spirit having a physical experience here. I'm not a physical being that has spiritual experiences.
That's right. And it's also very important to say that it's becoming easier and easier to find where the puzzle fits. You know, now I would see something in a movie and say, hey, they got that little piece from this, or that's part of that, or even just look at nature and see how everything is starting to fit.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the music that you just heard, that is by Blaze featuring Garadu. It's called Take a Stand for Love. The Shelter Mix. Quite an amazing song.
And you're listening to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that might be
important. ever since we started this show, you know, before we started this show, you know, I was for a couple of years there, I was in the, you know, YouTube mode and the internet mode where I was just looking and seeking I was spending a ton of time doing research on trying to understand what was going on. And it was really rare that I would come across the anybody that even mentioned the 100th Monkey. But now that we've started this show, it seems like damn near every interview or presentation I watch or whatever, somebody always happens to bring up that 100th Monkey effect.
It's because of the 100 monkey that they talk about the 100 monkey.
Yeah, so I think we're actually adding to that conscious thread out there in some form or fashion, and helping to bring that to that aspect of the workings of consciousness higher and higher on the level of consciousness, where that thread is being accessed more. I don't know. It's amazing the way this stuff all works. So
speaking of monkeys, we still have the 8 gig USB. That will include starting from November 17, 2010 through December 25, 2011. You get also 5 video interviews and the Book of Aquarius that we throw in there. If you're interested in one of those, just give us a contact. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tom's YouTube.
I've also started, and I'm going to start doing this weekly, I'll be posting hour one of the shows on Vimeo. So I've got a link there with all the other ones too. So I've had that account for a long time. I've just never really done much with it, but I was poking around there, and there's another good site for if you want to go out and take a look at some of these people that are putting presentations together and DVDs together and really making waves, conscious waves out there. That's another good resource. How do you spell it? Vimeo.com. It's a YouTube type setup, but they got some good stuff there. It's relatively easy to navigate too. So,
by the way, I'm getting closer to publishing my book, which is called "Scratching the Cosmic Conscience." It's for you, science fiction people. It's science fiction, and I'll have like a sample of it up on the website so you can read it and you can comment on it. You can read the first chapter I was able to put in, the first chapter. That should be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks, so sometime in February. You can also find that on Facebook.
Cool. That's cool.
What else? What else we got before?
Oh,
I don't want our guests to fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh, something that I did post on the website this week that comes from our friends in Australia and California, the Ralph Ring and the group of gentlemen that he is working with, is some stuff from Otis T. Carr. It's the Pod Starter Pack. It's actually some documents from Otis Carr and has some pretty interesting information about the craft that they built in the early 50s that was that's the one that Ralph Ring talks about actually flying in. So it's some really interesting stuff, and there is a link right on the main menu bar on the main page of the website. It's called the Pod Starter Pack. Check that out. All the documents, there's three of them on there right now, and they're all downloadable, so you can drop them onto your computer and explore them at your leisure. Some interesting stuff, guys. I mean, this technology is out there, and it's just a matter of getting the right people together and the right equipment together. And our guest tonight is really active in these areas, too, so we will be picking his brain on that. And speaking of our guest, Ramon, who do we have?
We have Señor Fernando Vosa, has been designing technology experience for over 15 years. Mr. Vosa approaches, reached the psychic and heart of his audience using multidisciplinary techniques from industrial designs, cognitive psychology, virtual reality, cinematography, architecture, graphic design, and fine art. Mr. Vosa's accomplishments include being part of the leading edge design team for a major brand such as Microsoft, Sony, US West, GE Aerospace, and most recently unfolding innovative installations concepts at the center of the mass creation. This media pioneer holds the design in computer science, cognitive science, and technology designs from the University of Washington. I'll leave it there and bring him in. Fernando, welcome to the show.
We are living in the age of awakening. Tom and Ramon, I'm very honored to be on the 100th Monkey Show. I've seen your past guests. A lot of them are friends of mine. And to be part of that company of giants, it's amazing. And as you said, Tom, the puzzle is getting more and more interesting by the moment.
Oh, boy, is it
2012 here, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, when all the big 2012 hype really started kicking into gear, what, like 2006, 2005 era. I mean, it was around before that, but it really got kicked into gear right around that time frame. That's when I started thinking, wow, we're
yeah. How many books, movies, seminars have been made about this year?
Oh man, I know. And here we are. We are in it, and you know, I gotta give some credence to the whole thing. You know, there is where there's smoke, there's fire. There is definitely something to this year, as far as being a pivotal point in our evolution.
Yes, the momentum and the energy now worldwide. I've traveled to several countries already. And Ramon, how are you feeling over there in Japan? Are they talking about 2012?
Yeah, 2012 is in everybody's mind. But unfortunately, for most people, it's still a negative thing.
The Hollywood.
Yeah, the media spin on it. Exactly. So they're not for some people, it's been something where it has made them dive deeper. Like, for example, a cousin of mine's back in New York, he's been diving deep into it. Because I was telling – oh, go ahead.
I'm part of a group of people now that are schizophrenic actively, which means that we have our daily life, then we have our research life, then we have our creative life, and our esoteric interests, and they're all overlapping in so many ways. Do you feel that schizophrenia?
Oh,
that
man.
We're so segmented in our consciousness.
Stop talking to me. I'm doing an interview. Oh, wait. Not back.
So I have friends that are involved in advanced research in forbidden technologies, and I also have friends that are in the media and entertainment industry, and part of my tribe is in the fine art world. The rest are in everything from channeling to astral travel, remote viewing, teleportation. So I recently went on a trip and met a beautiful young lady that I really fell for, and I was thinking, how do you love a light worker? What is that like to approach somebody that lives like this, right? Have you guys had that experience?
You know,
passion.
Ramon can attest to this. I actually met somebody this last summer who is now my better half, I would say. She is one of those light workers, and it was it's so amazing, it's hard to describe, when you find that type of and that sort of connection with somebody on such a different level than what you were raised and bred and taught your whole life, what your relationships are supposed to be like. When you reach and meet and interact with somebody on such a different level, it is miraculous.
I had sworn off relationships in 2011 because I'll give you an idea of a typical week for me. One day I would be possibly interacting with the Soro Magnetics team, discussing free energy, funding, resources. And the next day I would be visiting one of my ET friends, whether it's an Arcturian, Sirian, Orion, Zeta. I have so many different contacts with people who were recently on board craft, or they were abducted, or having direct experience. Another day I'm doing an art exhibit on sacred geometry installations. The next day I'm working on my prototypes for healing technology. How do you follow someone at that level, right? I'm contemplating this from a point of view that I've met only a few people that are doing this. It's part of 2012. We are coming out of the woodwork.
Yep, yeah. We definitely are.
With that being said, I want to dive into your past and how did you get on this path?
I came into this world with a level of awakening already from day one. And I had my first near-death experience at age 8. And I've had several other supernatural connections since then. My awakening has been first having that realization that there was nobody else around me like me, thinking about the future, communicating with extraterrestrials. And I'm sure you get this a lot with your guests. The first awakening comes from isolation, not knowing that there's anybody else like you. I awoke to the understanding that I was lucid dreaming right in my teenage years, where when I'm in my everyday life, it feels like I'm in the 1800s. It's like looking at a black and white world in a way. To me, computers look old, and cars and buildings and what people think of technology now to me seems like tin cans with a string, right?
Yeah.
When you have that level of perception, at least for me, I connected to an inner world. I created a virtual reality existence within my own consciousness and psyche. That was having more interesting experiences there than in my waking life. And that moved into my 20s and 30s. I wanted to get on the edge of technology and human thinking. And you know how some people like to just peer over the edge? I camped out. I have a tent permanently sideways on the edge. Yeah, I jump out once in a while. I go hovering, and in my late 30s, I gave myself license to just be Fernando Vossa, the creative genius that came to this planet to bring light. At some point, you just surrender and let it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, you stop hiding it. I agree. So what was your cultural upbringing? Were you born into a Catholic?
Mm-hmm. I was born in Guadalajara, Mexico, and my family is French, Spanish, Portuguese mix. You know how Mexicans, we have a little bit of that. Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. If everything got quiet all of a sudden, I go, you guys abducted or what? Alrighty. So imagine having the blood of the conquerors in me, those brutal warriors from Spain and Portugal and France, and then also having a more spiritual connection to the Aztecs, the Mayas, the Incas, all the way back to Atlantis. That's where I would consider my heritage, my ancient old soul roots of Lemuria and Atlantis and off-world.
Do you find, because there's a few Mexicans I know here teaching English, and I always ask them this question, and I always get the same answer. Do you find that the Mexican population is more open to these things compared to the Americans? And I'm speaking of the everyday person.
And I interact with both what we would consider Mexican-American, Chicanos on the American side, and also the more indigenous Mexican from different tribes and native groups, and then the modern Mexicans that have the European influence. So we're talking a very complex society. You can't be in a country with the monuments that Mexico has, the pyramids, the heritage, without some level of connection to it. We know that Mexico is more accepting of UFO phenomena than the United States. Mexico is more accepting of esoteric phenomena than the United States. And we're right next door. Isn't that curious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked through meditations, through regression, and in dreams, why was I born Mexican, right? Why was I born in 2012 now, being here during this modern age? And what came back to me is that I have a blood connection to what happened at the breakdown of Atlantis, when the tribes, you might say the different priests groups, split up around different parts of the world. And that Akashic record memory, you might say, is still with me. So I have a deep connection to the ancient wisdom. And being in Mexico is like the heart of the one world. That's what the Aztecs considered Mexico City. It's like a vortex, the birthplace that populated all the way down to South America. So being Mexican for me means having a foot in the modern world and a foot in the ancient world at all times.
That culture down there is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, I have not had the opportunity to do much exploring south of the border yet. But I do want to one day make it to some of those sacred places. There's just some amazing places. I feel the energy from here, you know.
And I know maybe this is not a good analogy for your audience, but going south of the border and pleasing your partner, there's a lot to explore that opens up some avenues that you didn't see before.
Right.
That was the most gentle, diplomatic way I could say it. What I'm suggesting is that we are not in tune with what heritage we have here in the United States, much less our neighbors in Mexico and moving all the way down to South America. This whole understanding that we crossed the Bering Strait through Alaska and came down is nonsense. That is just ancient myth. Why don't we have pyramids in the United States? Why don't we have ancient cultures if we were here first, right?
Yeah.
How about the understanding that there was this ancient continent of Lemuria based around Hawaii and spread around Japan and New Zealand and California? Do you know that Encinitas, California, is sacred ground for the Lemurians? There's still parts of the continent right here near San Diego.
Here's the funny part to that. There's a tribe in California, and I always forget their name.
Is the Kumeyaay?
No, I'm thinking of the tribe that speaks pre-Portuguese Japanese.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, there's a tribe that when any Japanese person listens to them, they'll tell you, like, they're speaking pre-Portuguese Japanese, which is the Portuguese came to Japan in the late 1400s, around the same time as Columbus went to America, Dominican Republic.
My ancestors.
And they speak Japanese. So the interaction has been there for such a long time. But Fernando, for example, for myself, my mom was really, you can say she was like somewhat of a curandera. She never really went into it. She never explored her gifts that she has.
Well, she's exploring them through you now with the work that you're doing.
Well, yeah, she's passed a lot of that down to me. But did you grow up in a family like that, or was your family very was your family Catholic, Christian?
My family, like my grandparents and my great-grandparents, obviously are conservative Catholics. And my immediate family, my mom and dad, decided not to be so demanding about that aspect. They both are kind of rebels. My family was the renegades that moved to the United States. And through some personal experiences of growing up with parents that were divorced, living between two cultures, America and Mexico, I had a lot of free time to be myself, which means that I spent a lot of time away from my parents growing up, living in families, visiting relatives. And then my dad moved us to Alaska when I was 8 years old to work for the Alaska Pipeline. So right away, the contrast and the getting used to change happened very early on in my life. I see it like boot camp. And now it makes more sense to me now. You know, those childhood experiences that you're not sure why it's happening to you? But then when you grow up, you see how it prepared us to what we're doing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I am now an expert in change and in almost, you might say, chaotic times. So when things seem like they're falling apart, the disintegration of society or the monetary system, some of us are just can remain calm while that's happening because it's been part of my life.
Right. Yeah, I definitely have had quite the interesting childhood myself. I mean, I went to so many schools, you know, I lost count of them, constantly moving. And so, yeah, the change thing is very familiar to me also.
And Tom, those skills that we develop, the social skills of moving so much and making new friends, I think those are coming to bear right now in what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For peace on earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, my disability was in the house, not outside. That was outside was the more stable part. For me, it was in the house.
You know, when I was growing up, there was no designation of what would be considered indigo children, much less what we now understand as rainbow and crystal children, and there's some other designations. That's why it felt very – I felt very isolated growing up.
Yeah. You know, I think there was a – I believe you're real close to my age. I was born.
Yeah, I'm 47 now.
Okay, well, I was born. I'm 50 now. Uh-huh. So right in that area, there was a wave of beings that came in, and I've had this confirmed at a lot of different sources. But there was a wave. We'll call them. I think Dolores Cannon terms them the
higher generation.
Right. So I think there was definitely there's definitely a wave of us that came in kind of to break the ground.
To prepare the way for the galactic convergence of 87.
Exactly.
I was born in 64, which makes me a year of the dragon. And now we're here, my yearly birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So 2012 and this change in consciousness that we're going through right now, I'd like to get your take on what is actually happening. What is changing in the consciousness?
For me, to approach that question, first I take ownership of what could happen. That means that I know that it's in my hands. It's not external from me. I'm not waiting for anything to happen outside of me. That happened only recently, about a year ago, that I decided to do that. So regardless of what is happening galactically, and I'll talk about that in a moment, the shift occurred inside of my own being, in my own heart. I decided that I wanted to have an awakening in my 2012 reality. I wanted to have a full revealing of our galactic family this year. So I'm expecting to see shifts and a revelation of an alternate humanity, you might say, alternate viewpoints. Now, from the information that I get from my ET friends, from my research, from channelings, and direct experience, we are definitely moving into a new energy in the solar system. And the sun and all astral bodies in our galaxy are behaving in a very different way by putting out a whole new set of frequencies of light. We feel that sound and light and matter are different things, but they're not. They're the same consciousness, the same energy that's coming to us. What seems strange is why 2012? It's an arbitrary year out of any other year. Why now? I think humanity as a collective, we've just kind of nailed down a time frame, and I don't believe it has to be exactly on December 21st, but we are in the range. You might say that pendulum that's changing directions, and we're going to hit a zero point at the end of this year. And after that, the scales will be completely tipped toward the light. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They're constantly saying that there's two different ways we can go about this after 2012. And one is, of course, the destructive way, and one is a much different way, and the choice is always up to us. But my question to you is, with a lot of psychics and different people coming out saying that they can't see beyond 2012, do you have a take on that, or do you think that's just hooey?
I believe it's true. I believe that we are beyond the time of the prophets. We are beyond the time of what was written in Scripture and Nostradamus. Nostradamus couldn't see here where we are right now. Given that understanding, what we can tune into are the potentials, the possibilities with the conditions that we have today. So if I attempt a remote viewing session, I tap into the understanding of what timeline would I like to step into out of the infinite timelines in this quantum hologram. When we take that understanding that there is no one set path, there are actually four choices in humanity. Do nothing, you know, that's the default. Service to self, just worry about what is in it for you. Service to others. And then there's unity consciousness, which is actually the highest vibration. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So unity consciousness, the understanding that we are one, the understanding that our galactic family is us, that the shift is occurring everywhere, puts us at the highest vibration to get through this difficult time period. Even service to others, which is positive, yes, it's very positive, it's still a form of separation.
Right.
Because that you're distinguishing yourself from service to self or doing nothing.
Right. You've just gone to one end of, from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when individuals ask me, well, how do I get in touch with ETs? Have you gotten in touch with yourself is the first question. We are the extraterrestrials we're seeking. The other understanding is that when wanting to reach a broader sense of reality, a bigger bandwidth, I share how to quiet down the noise of the third dimension, our third dimensional bias. And that's part of what's being apparent here in this 2012 energy. It's like we're being broadcast or revealed a whole new set of realities. We just have to quiet down the noise to be able to see them.
Mm. Yes.
Now, do you feel like some people that after 2012 or 2013, that they won't, you know, let's say the people who are not into this at all and can care less about it, that they would be kind of, I hate to use the word, but they will be forced to step into themselves to look at this, because whether they like it or not, their consciousness is just going to blast open.
When considering what we are in third dimension, in this physical earth, that is not all that we are. The understanding of having a higher self, a more spiritual perspective, that higher self has made choices of how to have this experience here on earth. So while the human here on earth may not be aware of, because they haven't connected, they made the choice to go through the difficulties and even to be apathetic or not care. But when you take unity consciousness, you know that that's not all that they are. So no, nobody's being forced to anything. We are still in a free will universe. And we can choose to not participate in a shift. But it's going to happen because Earth, the consciousness that Gaia is, has chosen to make its shift. The sun is making its shift. So is the solar system and the entire galaxy. It's like saying you want to walk across the street and your body's motion, and there's certain cells that don't agree with that. There's cells in your tissue, right? You might end up just flaking them off as dead skin, or, you know, getting rid of them if they don't want to go with you.
Right.
It's important to be part of the whole system.
The unity consciousness, that's all. You guys can go back and listen through some of the shows that we've done. I've been harping on this for a while now. That is the key 100th monkey effect that I want to see, that I think will, if that unity consciousness becomes the awareness of unity consciousness, the awareness that we are all one on a fundamental level, becomes quote unquote common knowledge, where it is known throughout all of humanity, all our problems are solved at that point.
We will always have a level of conflict and duality and polarity. It is the nature of the universe that we live in. But that polarity, having positive and negative, hot, cold, love, hate, is what supports life. You know, the understanding of the 100th monkey, imagine the quantum monkey effect, where the consciousness was propagated from the first monkey all the time. It didn't even have to go to any 100th monkey. The moment the first monkey did anything, it's already in the collective consciousness. So we are seeing an acceleration of that. Whatever we talk about in this show is being talked about at the same time somewhere else. We are beyond the time of the 100th monkey effect.
So how do you feel about that? Maybe we should rename the show to the Quantum Monkey Effect.
You know, then you would probably be more in line, because it's not linear anymore.
Mm.
It's the quantum jungle. That's it.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the your contacts that you had with the outer family. When did that begin for you?
It started when I started noticing that my thoughts were not necessarily my own. And that happened in my adult life, in my 30s. There is no way to explain what I know or what other connected, tuned-in folks know inherently, because it's not taught in any school. It's not absorbed through any other way but through something higher. The idea of connecting with what we would consider extraterrestrial, which, by the way, there is no such thing. It's just all of life is connected. It's not what was on Earth or not on Earth. What if our galactic family speaks to us through thoughts and dreams and meeting other people and books and movies and food, and any sensory experience is a communication channel with what we would consider extraterrestrials? We can get an idea to write a book, and that idea could have been seeded from a higher level of consciousness. Script writers in Hollywood get ideas from ETs all the time for movies. So the question is, if we are biased to only understand contact as a physical encounter on a ship, then we're going to be limited to how beautiful and profound the full contact can be. Do you agree?
I agree. Mm.
I was in contact with my galactic family to the point when I was never out of contact. I was in contact before I incarnated on Earth. But it took me a long time to understand what that meant.
Mm.
I noticed that there was always a few voices speaking inside of me, different influences in my thoughts, and it took me a long time to understand how to mitigate that communication. It was like mental telepathy, but listening to my own voice. So you can understand how confusing that could be, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then, in my dreams, I had encounters with beings, and I've met beings, everything from grays to insectoids to feline to humanoid, and I've visited other planets. There's been a lot of times in my life where I've lost time, like entire chunks of the day. Or it seemed like I was in a deja vu moment, and it was like when I speak to Andrew Basaggio for a moment, for example, when he talks about his time travel experiences, sometimes you're back 5 minutes before you left. And it's a very weird realization when that happens.
Hmm. Wow. It's that experience is just like a wow.
If you want to get crazy, I recently tried DMT. And that is an experience that connects you with a different reality completely. It is not like alcohol or any of that kind of thing. How interesting is it that there's intelligence inside plants that's organic and is activated through consuming DMT? What do you think of that? There is no scientific process at this moment to describe what is going on yet.
I had two experiences in college with that, mm-hmm. with plants. And one was I had taken it, and there was this... there was this like rage and anger that I had, and this girl came over and she was like, "Okay, I'm gonna introduce you to a friend of mine," and she like laid me down next to a plant and she said, "Just talk to them," and of course, you know, being in the state, it was just easy to connect. And what I've gotten from the trees that day was. And I lay there for hours, I don't know how long, but what I gotten from them, there was this frustration with us, like, don't get it, you just don't get it, and I was just like, don't get what? You just don't get it. And now I get what they were meaning, and then another one was, I was with a group of friends, and again, we were taking the DMT, and he goes right up to this plant, and this is in the dark, he goes right up to the plant and pulls out a staple.
Oh.
And all he said was like, "Oh, wow, I heard a thank you." And he asked us, did you guys say thank you? And I said, no, we didn't say anything. And he like heard it clearly. But the question I was going to ask you, for me, for example, I get telepathic messages, but they're usually garble. And one time I asked, I said, speak louder because I can't hear you. And I said, doesn't matter how loud I send a telepathic message, you know.
Yeah.
It was basically me. But for most people, the right before you wake up or right before you fall asleep, you feel like you're having a conversation with somebody.
For sure.
And for me, I already know like the voice and I know who she is. And I say she because she has a feminine voice. So yeah, I know the voice very well. But is this what you mean by connecting to those, like for that greater family?
Yes. What has helped me is to be a creative individual in everything I do, being an artist. An artist with my thoughts, not only with my paintings and writing and media, but with my thoughts and my dreams and my visualization. And we'll take a simple example. When you are daydreaming as a child, the first thing we're taught is that it's a bad thing to do, isn't it? How about if daydreaming was one of the most powerful acts that we can do on this earth? I connected with that. I am an expert daydreamer. Michael Jordan, when he slams dunks, that's how good I am at daydreaming. What that does is it gives you access to a mind that can contemplate bigger thoughts, which means I have a race car, a Ferrari, or interstellar light engine that can hold big ideas. It's taken me years to culture and nurture that. I had to undo decades of abuse and neglect in my life. In order to tune in those garbled messages, you have to fine-tune your crystal, your mind, your brain, your consciousness, to be able to understand them. It's not easy.
Absolutely.
But it takes you to another level. And I'll give you an example of fine-tuning your brain. When you ask somebody, do you believe in a world that is 100% conflict-free, no war anywhere? A peaceful world. Most people will say no. They'll say right away that humanity is inherently violent, right? You guys hear that?
Yeah.
All I'm asking, could you hold the frequency of peace in your mind for a moment and contemplate it? And most people cannot. Could you hold the frequency of a world without money just for a little while? Could you imagine that that's a true state, a true possibility? As soon as one can hold an idea like that in their head and contemplate it and revel and fantasize about it, you've just reached one notch higher vibration and you'll allow into your mind those kinds of thoughts. Imagine that your galactic family is trying to teach you about world peace and what it would take. And we're not even willing to contemplate it. That's why the message is garbled.
So is that exactly what John Lennon was talking about in the what's the name of that song?
Imagine.
Yes,
it is to put yourself, all of the things that we hear about meditation, oneness, all of the spiritual woo-woo, how about if that was one of the big doors to communicate with ETs? And I'm not denying the violent side of that experience. There are people who had very difficult abductions and so forth. But half of those are probably staged by our own Earth-based black projects to create fear. And I'll tell you, in my experience, a minute percentage of extraterrestrials are actually rogue negative beings. And that's opening up a whole new way of understanding exopolitics. That we don't live in a violent universe. We actually live in a benevolent, loving universe. And by tapping into that, you'll be able to tap into your galactic family and those telepathy messages that are garbled.
Yeah, and quieting the mind and meditation is for for learning how to do this, Joyce, I can't stress meditation enough to people that it is, especially when you're first starting out, you have to be able to ground yourself in some way. And meditation has been around this planet forever, and it has been tried and tested, and it is.
Meditation is a technology among many others for connection. Any form of spiritual practice that you cultivate on a regular basis to connect with a higher aspect of reality, God, whatever you want to call it, is definitely the way to get through this.
You know, I think there's a certain aspect to the creative side of our being that says, and I think this is one of the fundamental laws of creation, is if you can imagine it and create a format for yourself that you are willing to believe in, to put your faith into, you can make that work. Now,
I'll give you an example of how I'm practicing that, if you like.
Sure.
I developed a concept called the Vasa Projection Crystal. The inspiration was to create a device for children that they can hold like a crystal in their hands, a large quartz or, you know, like one of those points that they use for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would project light on the wall of their dreams. And then when they're sleeping, the crystal would record their dreams. And in the daytime, they can share them with their family and their friends. And if they wanted to change the world in some way, like they wanted to communicate with dolphins or clean the water in the oceans, they could use their projection crystal to show others that idea, how it would work, how it would look, right?
That's a really old technology, isn't it?
Well, the idea, I mean, that's, I don't know how old you're talking, 10,000 years, a million years, but how about the understanding that when I design, I fantasize first the perfect solution without even worrying about the technology or how I could add the cost or nothing like that. None of the third dimensional bias. But as soon as I start sketching that out on paper, I start daydreaming about it and visualizing it down to the minute detail of how it works, I start getting the answers. I start seeing that, oh, there's these frequencies for crystals, and this is a way to have a light engine to project out of the tip, and here's a way to record brain waves so your brain, your dreams are getting recorded. That's kind of like the way we begin that relationship with our galactic family. You have to visualize it, almost invent it first.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we are just flying through this first hour, and we've got about 10 minutes left to go here.
Okay.
And in this first hour, I wanted to, at least for the BBS listeners, I wanted to touch on this Hypercube Resonator platform that you're working on. And if you tell us a little bit about that and tell our listeners a little bit about that, and have you got that to any closer to production yet?
I developed that idea about 12 years ago. The first incarnation was called the V-Shot. It was a capsule that I would build inside electronic dance clubs, and you would pay to go in and order an experience that would go with a drink. So when you consume the shot, the virtual reality experience would begin, and it was in a small cube. Since then, I've evolved that to be the Hypercube Resonator. I've built a prototype here in San Diego 5 years ago, and it was the most powerful technology I've assembled in my living room. So I definitely want to share with more the listeners how this Hypercube Resonator is coming to being in 2012.
And but I couldn't order one yet, could I?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have two potential clients right now that I've put proposals out to build them, because they're also a marketing media vehicle. What they really are, they are Xboxes for consciousness, game cubes to be able to create experiences of astral travel, teleportation, accelerated learning, telekinesis, telepathy. All those kinds of things can be done inside the Hypercube Resonator. And it is a technology that was channeled through me, through Higher Source.
And this would be something that you could develop programming for to, like, train the brain, retrain the brain to...
train the whole body, the whole light body experience.
Right.
And, yes, the cost for a hypercube is $250,000 for all the parts.
Hmm.
And I'm working on the full blueprints of the next generation. In my mind, I'm already working on the third generation of the hypercube.
Hmm.
And now I actually get to build one. How exciting, no?
Nice. Very nice. Very
hey, Tom, nice. Can I borrow some money?
Yeah. I'll pull it out of petty cash.
Well, we are in the age of accelerated manifestation, so $250,000 is not that much anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
The quantum monkey is already out there raising money, right?
There you go.
How long do you see before this technology could be like, you know, it's kind of like the first computer, so expensive, took up an entire room, but now I'm talking to you out of a little laptop, or I can even use my phone. How long do you see before, do you visualize before people can get this in their living room?
Well, the crazy part is you don't need any technology. You have it all in your body. It's for free, and it's right now.
Yeah.
The technology that's exterior, I already have one part of the hypercube, and I call it the harmonic resonance system. And I have some videos on it on my YouTube. So that was a prototype I built last year. And it's using crystal, magnetics, light, sacred geometry, sound resonance for the same effects of healing your body, but also connecting with your human superpowers. So that's available right now.
Are you related to Tesla by any chance?
Tesla, I have channeled, or you might say communicated with the Tesla energy. Now, I don't know if I'm physically, the DNA, but I have communicated with Tesla to get insight on some of the technology on how to build it. And Tesla has reincarnated on the planet, and so has Einstein.
Yeah.
And they are out there helping scientists as we speak.
Tesla keeps coming up over and over and over. The guy's contribution is, I don't know where I'm going with this, but his contribution is long
beyond measure.
It hasn't been seen. What his contribution, his real contribution, has not yet been seen.
Oh, he was so far ahead of his time. He was working on alien communication devices, teleportation, time travel. The free energy stuff was just the beginning. One of the cool things he was working on is inverse gravity. And yeah. Otis Carr, who had interaction with Tesla, would incorporated some of his material into his first craft.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking with some of those people that are working on Otis Carr's stuff.
I'm already downloading it
soon.
Site.
Yeah, it's some amazing stuff that's coming out this year.
Get your pod starter pack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got quite a year coming. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So maybe I will get my 2013 or 2014 spacecraft.
Oh, for sure.
Well, you know, I think we are actually rapidly heading towards a point where we won't need that spacecraft.
No, we really don't, but we definitely need a bridge to teach us how to use that technology in our own bodies.
You know, and I think that's a lot of what all of the technology that we've experienced throughout all of our history has been basically, like you said, the bridge to bridge to our full consciousness, to understand that we can do these without any of the external encounterments.
Yeah, in the next segment, I will share some of my insights of how this technology is in our own bodies. The crystal energy, the magnetics, the sound, the water, and more importantly, the thought, intention. That's the driver for everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're right there, right, Tom?
Yeah, so where can people get a hold of you, and what have you got coming up here in the near future? Have you got any...
The easiest way to find me is just to Google Fernando Vossa, V as in Victor, O-S-S-A. My website is centerofmasscreation.com. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Can't miss me. And I have a YouTube channel called Vossa Media, all one word, has my lectures and research.
Have you got any lectures or anything coming up here real soon?
I have this amazing interview on the 100th Monkey Radio Show for people to listen to. But I do have some. I just got back from South Africa. We're going to be talking about that. I did 10 lectures there, and I'm already scheduling a few.
Just 10?
Just 10 talks in South Africa over 2 months.
Well, I also put on his page that we have a page for all our guests, so there'll be some of his videos up on there that you can check out of his stuff, and all the links to his website will be on there as well.
Great.
Thank you for that, and there's a lot to share already.
Okay, well, guys, hang out for Brooks coming up next, and then pop on over to the 100thmonkeyradio.com and check out Hour 2. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry. And I didn't have to look at my arm.
Very nice, Ramon. Yay! Okay, good night, you guys.
Walk around the air.